direct from the web, it's Billy Masters Live.
And I'll be live.
And now, please welcome your host, Billy Masters.
Oh my God, our post-Oscar show. Hey everybody, welcome to Billy Masters Live. I am, of course, your host, Billy Masters. And today, thank you, Monica. Oh, I feel really low in my chair today. Today is Thursday, March 31st. You know, you plan an Oscar show and you sometimes think to yourself, what will there be to discuss? Well, there are things to discuss. We've got a great panel today. But before we go to the panel, I just want to say something about the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing and my experience as a stand-up comedian. 99% of the stuff you already know. So, you know, just bear with me. I'm only going to take a couple minutes. Is that, you know, I have played every toilet in this country. And in every one of those places, mics may not work, lights may not work. You know what always happens? I have bouncers. I've got goons who are on me in case anything happens, because there's a good chance when I'm on stage, something will happen. There was a time in Boston at the 1270 when, you know, you start sort of playing with the audience, particularly at a midnight show, and you're, you know, back and forth, and you think it's all fun, until somebody takes a step onto that stage. And when they do take a step onto that stage, you know what happens? Two big, burly, hot guys eject them. So I just want to make it clear that what you saw at the Oscars, don't ever try that in a club, because that's not going to work. Number one, you are going to be ejected. And number two, you're not going to get back in. And number three, you may get the phone number of a bouncer. But 99% of the time, I can say pretty much anything I want to somebody. And they're in a club. They're there to laugh. They're at a show. If I've hosted a show, they're there to laugh. I was with, oh my God, one of my best friends, Michael Urie, was hosting a benefit here in Los Angeles. One of my best friends is kind of older, kind of a little balding. And Michael Urie made a joke calling him Dick Cheney. Oh, Dick Cheney's in the audience. My friend was livid. You know what he didn't do? Go up on stage. Now, after the show, he did say to Michael Urie, I didn't really appreciate the Dick Cheney joke. And Michael Urie said, in the words of Billy Masters, get over it. So, you know, I just want to let people know. And one of our guests, actually, my first guest, Alex Michelson, talked to one of my best friends just last night on TV. He was talking to Christopher Titus. Now, as it turns out, on the eve of the Oscars, Saturday night, I was with Christopher down in Irvine. And in the middle of the second show, someone had to be removed. It was done very quickly. Nobody saw anything. But, okay, Christopher didn't tell you this, Alex. Just before the pandemic, also in Irvine, I don't know what it is about Irvine, there were two groups of neo-Nazis in the audience. Now, me being me, I said to Christopher, at least they bought tickets. Those two, they had two things in common. Number one, they hated each other. So who knew neo-Nazis have different factions? And number two, they hated Christopher Titus because he's a liberal. And they got on stage, got up, attempting to go on stage and interrupt the show. They were ejected before anyone knew it was going on. So Christopher knows what he's talking about. So there's Christopher Titus with Alex Michelson last night.
Jada Pinkett Smith gave him a look. We all knew exactly what she thought from the look. She didn't really need to say anything more than that. And he could win and make fun of Chris when he got his chance up on stage. But instead, he chose to do what he did. I think what else is interesting is to hear your perspective as a comedian to the way that Chris Rock reacted. Tonight, he's on stage again, not really getting into it much, but in the moment he reacted like somebody who's been through this a few times.
Oh, if you've done a midnight show on a Saturday, and you got to remember, Chris started about when I did, in the mid-80s. If you did a midnight show on a Saturday, you know how to handle it. You have a drunk guy throwing up on one side, you got a lady who winged a glass at your head, and you just grab that mic and you keep going. And it was amazing to watch. You know, doing comedy, I'm coming up on 3 decades of it. It was pretty amazing to watch Chris handle it with the class and professionalism. And also, you could see how rattled he was. You could see, you know, he handled like a pro, but there was a moment, as Will walks up, you could see him leaning like, oh, we're going to do a special Oscar bit. And then he gets cracked, and the look on his face was pretty stunning. It still makes me, it upsets me in a weird way, man, because I'm working this week.
Yeah.
I'll be in Michigan all week. Do me a favor.
Which is why Christopher is not with us, but we are pleased to have the person who interviewed him, the very dashing Alex Michelson. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Billy. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, please. My pleasure. And let me just say before we go to you, Christopher is taping his special, and I will be there May 7th at the El Portal. Go to ChristopherTitus.com if you want tickets. You know, we're shameless plugging.
That's a good
everybody.
Friend. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will be at both shows. So if you want to see me and take a swing at me, feel free. You know, I can take it. You know, I really thought it was interesting that you interviewed him last night, because a lot of female comedians have spoken out about, you know, Wanda Sykes and Kathy Griffin. And I think that, you know, finding a guy who has been in this situation was really a stroke of genius. And, you know, what have people been saying to you? Well, first off, where were you Saturday night? Because you used to be on the red carpet. You're now at Fox.
Yeah, so I was at home actually, the awards actually at my parents' place.
And oh wow,
my sister and we it was our first time meeting her boyfriend's parents, so they were there. So we had a big.
And you think you're just gonna have a fun night watching the Oscars?
And then it becomes a whole thing, and my sister's initial reaction was, "Oh, that won't be that big a story," and I'm like. no, but my immediate reaction was. Okay, this got to be fake. There's got to be, this is a shtick. Will Smith's going up there. He kind of had a smirk on his face when he's coming back. But then when you saw the unbelievable anger and rage in that moment when he was cussing him out, you knew that this was not something that was staged. And then immediately get on Twitter and try to figure out what's going on there. And the reporters that are in the room are all saying it wasn't staged. And you hear about the behind the scenes drama. And to me, the thing that was kind of even more stunning than the slap and the cuss out was that there's now, you know, 45 minutes between that and the moment that he gets up on stage to give the speech. Right. We know that his publicist came out to him at least twice to talk with him. We know that Denzel and Bradley Cooper, and Tyler Perry and all these people are coming to talk with him. And then he gets on stage and that was the best that he could do.
And the Academy had gone over to him and tried to get him out.
Well, and that's now kind of in dispute. So
that's
TMZ
true, right?
Today is reporting that that's not really what happened, that they talked to their publicist about the possibility of would he leave, and that Will Packer, the producer of the Oscars, went over to him and said to him that he should stay. And then, of course, he gets the Oscar, gets a couple standing ovations, talk about how he's like basically on a mission from God to protect all women, that the women in his life aren't strong enough to protect themselves, and didn't apologize to Chris directly and didn't say that violence is wrong. I mean, he said all that the next day in a statement that was clearly prepared by his PR team. You didn't see his face. You didn't see him. It wasn't direct to camera. We haven't seen him say anything since then. So the whole situation was really, really bizarre and kind of gave you maybe a window into who he is.
I thought it was interesting seeing what his son tweeted, which was like, that's how we do it. And I'm like, what? Like, is this how the Smith family like is?
Well, they all went out that night to the Vanity Fair party where your guest Carl is, was that night to party. And they're playing, you know, his music at the party and everybody's dancing. And I think it was, you know, clearly confusing to people in Hollywood who often follow similar tribes politically on what to root for in this situation. Because you've got two people with the same race, two people that are both A-listers, two people that have a lot of friends in the room. And it became a really weird thing. And I don't think the room quite knew what to do when he was speaking. And then they end up giving him two standing ovations, which sends a really weird message to fans of comedy, to Titus's point, that, you know, now 500, 600 million people have watched this image of somebody gets made fun of. They go on stage, they slap the person, and instead of being escorted, they get to sit in the front row and then win the biggest award of the night, get two standing ovations, then get welcomed into the biggest party in Hollywood the whole night, and then they play their music.
Yeah, well, I think that I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said that this the shift happened after he won the Oscar, because they may both be black, they may both be famous, they may both be rich, but one of them's now holding an Oscar. He gets my alliance.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I think that if Will Smith had done a lot of what I said, which would be apologize to Chris Rock, say that violence isn't the right thing, say that he lost control, but that should not be what other men should do, say that he's offended that his wife has a medical condition and that should be celebrated, not mocked, and then say that this is not how Richard Williams would have handled the situation. I don't want to distract from him, and my apologies to Venus and Serena for taking away from their moment too.
Sure.
I mean, if he had done that in the moment, it would have played a lot differently than it is playing now, and probably done a lot less long-term damage. But, you know, Will Smith is such a big star that, you know, as Trump said, sometimes when you're a star, they let you do it. And in this case, he may be right about that.
And I will say, I want to just add this before I go to Carl, is that I don't want to say names, but there were three people who were going to come on this show and they did not want to talk about Will. They're very uncomfortable, which makes me wonder, do the Smiths have enough power that people are afraid to speak out against them? Because comedians have said stuff, but most actors have been pretty silent. And most actors, you know, they're looking for their next job.
Well, I appreciate the acknowledgement that I am like your last choice after your other guest.
That's so not true. It was just hard to track you down. I just had to know where to look.
We tried to interview a lot of comedians about this in the days after, and there were so many comedians that said, pass.
Too hot.
Radioactive. Not quite sure where this thing's going to go. I mean, that's part of the reason I think you see the Academy. They meet yesterday, but they say they're not going to have a decision till I think April 12th or something. It's like, what's the investigation? We all saw it.
Exactly.
Right? Watch the tape. Like, right. What's more is there to investigate? Maybe you talk to Will Smith and talk to Chris Rock and it's done. But clearly what they're trying to do is wait for, you know, the temperature to come down a little bit, wait for another story to break, wait for other people to be distracted. And I think that there's a lot of that with this story too, that it's a hot potato and there's not a lot of upside, I think, for a lot of people that they feel like in commenting, and it's better to just sort of stay away from it and wait for the thing to move on.
We need more people like our friend Gloria Allred, because Gloria would have been right all over this.
Hard to keep Gloria down from anything.
It sure is. Yeah. I'm going to put you backstage, Alex. I'll bring you back on with everyone else.
Okay. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you. My next guest was on the red carpet. Now, this isn't about Will Smith, but this clip is so funny. I just have to show it. It has been edited for time. It's endless. But this is after the Oscars, and I just want you to see what Carl Schmitt had to deal with going into parties. Take a look.
Is there anyone that you're hoping you might crush on a little bit in there? I know that you always look forward to seeing some good-looking folk.
You know I love a man. I love to see the men.
Any man in particular?
No, one that got good credit. Whoever's credit score is higher than mine. The 730 and higher.
That's an excellent score.
I need an excellent man.
Are you going to be here until it's over, or are you just doing a quick lap?
Why, are you coming with me?
You inviting me?
Are you trying to be with me? You trying to be, what's your credit score? You don't know your credit
score? Do we want to look it up?
Yeah, go to creditkarma.com right now.
No, should we have a look?
I can't believe you did this.
We got porno charges on here.
There's no porno charges.
I'm the best for which. Go ahead.
Oh,
I don't know what porno is. Okay, free credit score. Okay. All right. It's coming.
Who knew American Express shows you your credit score right away?
Isn't this a great app for American Express?
Yeah.
Look.
Let's see how responsible he is, y'all.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Okay, you qualify.
751.
Yeah, you qualify.
Am I coming with you?
No.
Tiffany,
no, you can
always
come
good
with
talking
me.
To you, baby.
Me.
Go have fun. Mm-hmm. Mwah.
Mwah.
Thank you.
Do you want to come out with me?
Yeah. Let's go.
For real?
Yeah, I'll go.
Ain't got no wife?
I ain't got no wife. I ain't got no husband. I just got a dog at home.
Okay.
Gus.
Okay, me too.
All right, baby.
Let's go dog walking.
Come on. Tiffany Haddish on the carpet here at Vanity Fair.
And Gus is there. So please welcome my next guest, Carl Schmidt.
Yeah, I should point out that the porno charges go on the MasterCard.
Thank you. You really disappointed me. And, you know, and you know Tiffany. I know Tiffany. Her first thing is, you ain't got no wife. And you handled that so deftly because at this point, I mean, you not only come out as gay, but HIV positive. There's really very little about you we don't know.
I know. Somebody sent me a link to a website the other day that talks about whether celebrities are circumcised or not. And somehow I'm on that website as well. Who knew?
On which side?
A celebrity, let
cut
alone.
Cut or uncut.
Kind well, you'd have to go look at the website, Billy.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So, interestingly enough, Tiffany is one of the people who has come out on Will Smith's side and talked about how proud she was as a Black woman to see her, him standing up for his wife. Mm. She didn't talk about that with you at all. Did you get any other gauge from other people that were speaking out on the Will side?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people. And it is somewhat surprising. By the time Tiffany and I chatted, I was really D-O-N-E with the evening. I was like, I'd been in that suit since 7 o'clock in the morning, and this was after midnight at this point. But I will tell you,
dashing, I might add.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Thanks to our friends at Ralph Lauren. See, we can all get a plug in. but I will say this, I got a real reaming the next day as well on social media. But to answer
yeah,
your question,
please.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I was surprised rather with the reaction I got from certain celebrities. I'm happy to name names because I think some of them were quite appalling. Karamo, who is for the most part, a lovely person. I was shocked when we were talking and he goes, you know, he was totally on Will's side. He thought it was a great thing. And I said, he just assaulted a man on television. And violence isn't the answer. And Karamo said, that wasn't violence. Come on, that wasn't violence. I said, yes, it was. He hit him. And he goes, you guys are looking to blow this up into something bigger. And that kind of response shocks me and disturbs me somewhat. And it was a response then that I heard from quite a few people that night at Vanity Fair as they came in. And as Alex pointed out, you know, and you guys pointed out earlier, he was inside the party. Will was inside the party with Jada and the family. I tried to get a question out of Will as he walked in and I said, you know, how's your evening? And he said, it's been the best night of my life, which I thought was interesting. But what are you going to do? But the next day, a friend of ours, Mark Malkin, who works for Variety, he posted the video of Will dancing inside the Vanity Fair party. That was
footage.
And I commented and I said, you know, I don't get it. You're allowed to assault somebody, violence. And I said, you know, it's not the answer. Boy, did people come for me on social media on Monday for saying that. And, you know, I think we have to be conscious that, you know, we're a bunch of privileged white men talking on this program thus far. And I know Bruce Valanche certainly has the same pigmentation as the rest of us. So, you know, we come from a different perspective. And I will say this, in no way, shape, or form do I ever condone violence. I mean, as you pointed out, I'm a gay man living with HIV. I have had people tell me to my face and behind my back that I deserve to die, that I'm a pervert, that I should rot and die of AIDS. Like, I mean,
that is so shocking.
I know,
to me.
But the most vile, disgusting things, let alone G.I. Jane 2 is coming out.
First off, I don't think people understand the joke.
To that point, Billy, I don't think I didn't interpret it as an alopecia dig. I took it as a joke that perhaps Jada's movie career hasn't been that great.
I think somebody would consider her to carry a film. That's the joke,
right? Exactly.
It's a haircut joke too.
Yeah, but by the way, Jada Pinkett Smith looks stunning,
phenomenal.
She looked so gorgeous, and not only that, not barely a week ago on her Red Table Talk show, she did a whole thing about embracing, loving her. She actually says this. You can go back and watch it. She says, I don't care what anyone has to say. I don't care about people putting me down because of my hair. I embrace this and I love it. And I, you know, so we were like this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what else was going on there? And what else? I'd love to see the camera that was on them, because, you know, as you talked, Will laughed. We cut away to Chris on the stage. We'd seen her face. I'd love to see what happened. But
at some point, I was told that she leaned back and said something to Will that we don't know.
Yeah, and look, and we won't know. And just to go back to this point of, you know, somebody, you know, I got into quite a few conversations, and, you know, I reached out to some very good friends of mine who are Black, and I said, can you help me understand, like, what am I missing? Because violence is never the end. I just don't get it. But am I missing something? Because a lot of people who are coming for me are Black, and they're, I was called a racist. I was called a sad, pathetic, lonely person who doesn't have anyone to, anyway, all kinds of things.
But you do have Gus.
I do have Gus. But, and that someone raised a very good point, and that is that in the Black community, hair, especially with women, is a very big and touchy point. And I haven't looked at it from that perspective. That being said, you don't get up and hit somebody. I mean,
ever.
We were all in shock at Vanity Fair. You have to understand that the Vanity Fair party is also a viewing party.
Oh,
so
that's right.
A lot of people have already come through. So there's a lot of us press. I've been at the Oscars red carpet, hopped in a car and run across to Beverly Hills. So I'm there with all the press and we're watching.
Where were you when it happened? Yeah, were you there?
I was on the Vanity Fair carpet with all of the electronic and still press. And we were watching on giant screens. They wheel out big televisions on the carpet so that we can all watch the Oscars.
And was there a gasp?
Oh my gosh.
What was the reaction?
There was a huge gasp. And at first, like many, we thought it was staged. And it wasn't really until the version of the clear footage without the bleeps and the delay buttons being hit, where you actually heard the, as Alex said, the rage and anger in Will's voice. Did you go, oh, hang on, this wasn't staged. I think, as you pointed out, Chris Rock did a wonderful job. I mean, what a gentleman.
Rattled.
Oh, clearly. He just got smacked on global television. But, you know, I think Alex touched on this before. You know, if Will had let it go, and when he got up on stage to accept his Oscar, said, you know, and I just want to take a moment to look how beautiful my wife is tonight, and she's the most beautiful woman in the room, and, you know, Chris, my man, what you said wasn't cool, and you shouldn't, like, guess what? Will Smith would be a hero, and Chris Rock, wrongly or rightly, would look like a douchebag.
And it would have been over.
And it's so disappointing that, you know, Will, who I've interviewed both of those men on multiple times, multiple occasions. Will Smith has always been nothing but the absolute nicest, jovial, lovely person. So to see this outburst from him was shocking. But yes, the internet, all the press, we were all in shock. And it sort of, for us in our positions, it became, oh God, nobody is going to want to talk to us now because because nobody, you know, and for the most part, I mean, we still got some great stuff, but a lot of people didn't want to come and talk.
It wasn't the same.
It takes away from the fantastic job that the three hosts did. and how Amy brought that show back when she came out. It takes away from, you know, Jessica Chastain's win and the amazing speech that she gave about LGBTQ people and in particular people living with HIV and Steve Peters, right, who was the subject of that interview in the film, if you haven't seen it. And you know, Ariana DeBois and everyone else who, it was their moment to shine. And unfortunately, this has taken the luster off it. But I stand by what I said on Twitter in response to people coming for me. As like I said to you, I've had the most vile things said to me, like people wishing and saying I deserve to be dead because I'm HIV positive. And not once has my reaction been, oh, I know, I'll go smack the shit out of you. Unfortunately, Will Smith, in a moment of rage, and we have to sort of, you know, no one is perfect, and we have all done stupid things at stupid times, and this is probably, I would imagine that no one is beating themselves up more, sorry to use that phrase, than Will Smith right now, because I don't believe that what we saw is indicative really of who Will Smith really is, and I'm basing that off all my personal interactions with him. He had an incredibly stupid moment. I think he realizes that.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, because it didn't happen that he heard the joke and left out of his
seat. No, you're right.
It was calculated, and he strode on stage. He had time.
He had time, and he 1,000% did the absolute wrong thing. But, you know, do we cancel someone? Do we cancel Will Smith? And that's the question over this kind of thing.
Well, I don't believe in canceling anyway, personally. Right. I mean, Alex, I see you walked away from the camera. I'm about to bring you in. Oh, he's there.
I've gone,
you
know, on
he's
too
got
long.
Better people Alex, to talk to, he Alex. He's very busy.
Well, you know, all right. Alex, as you pointed out, Alex used to be at other parties, and he and I would, in the live shows, toss back to each other. So,
yeah.
All right. This is just, can I just say, for those of you watching, a dream come true.
I knew you were about to make a two men.
Well, you knew. I was so sanitized. But yes, I have been in worse three ways. Let me just say that.
I want to push back on what Carl just said, too. Let me throw this out. I mean, it seemed like, how is that the only, if that emotion looked like that wasn't the first time something like that has come out?
I mean,
it did not appear like it. What it appeared like to me, and I'm sure to other people too, and Christopher Titus sort of made a joke about this last night on our air, was, is that the real Will Smith? I mean, is the other thing a front?
Is
the real Will Smith, the, you know, like he writes about in his book, the 10-year-old kid that feels like he was a coward and is ashamed for not standing up for his mom when his dad
in South Philly, sure,
beating her and created this whole, you know, vibe and created this whole image for himself to try to get away from that. But in reality, there's this like deep hurt and pain at his core that hasn't quite been dealt with before. And that sort of came out, but that behind the scenes, probably that's come out at other points in his life with other people.
Well, and that's the million-dollar question, Alex. And to your point, you don't know. We don't. None of us know. And I'm sure that there's, you know, look, we've all got something inside us that we don't ever really share and put out there with the world. And I'm, again, in no way, shape, or form am I condoning any of this behavior. I think it's appalling.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it is appalling. The fact, I mean, he just played into every white racist stereotype of a black man. And that was my reaction. I just went, you have just done the most stupid thing, because all the morons who are racist in this country and around the world go, see, told you.
Black man. And the thing about Will Smith particularly is he's worked so hard to get away from that, right?
Correct.
He's never used bad words. He's somebody who chose roles that could have been any action star, Independence Day, right. Men in Black. He viewed himself as an actor who happens to be black, not a black actor. For years, he didn't do, you know, slavery roles or other roles that showed black people as subservient. He was always a really strong character. So that's what makes it so ironic that Will Smith, on the biggest night of his career, when he's hitting the, you know, the mountaintop, has this moment.
Well, although, can we just point out, thank God that it was two black men and not a black man and a white man or a black man and a Latino, because I thought that would take race out of the equation. Nobody's going to say, oh, the angry black man. I'm like, against the other black man? Like,
yeah, look, we won't know whether that is a truer side of Will Smith or whether it was, you know, straw breaking camel's back. None of us know, and we can all be armchair psychologists and claim to know that. But, you know, the bottom line is, no matter what somebody says to you or how you're provoked, you don't assault somebody. And to your point earlier about the investigation, like Alex said, what's to investigate? Watch the television. It's ridiculous. But, you know, there were so many other great moments of the night and so many other special moments of the night for so many other people. The fact that Coda won, not just in Best Supporting Actor, but Best Picture, as I said, it's a shame to take away from all of that.
The hosts, three women for the first time, and Wanda has gone public and said, no one's apologized to me.
Right.
It just made their job a lot harder. And speaking of someone who knows a little bit about that job, Bruce Valanche has written more Oscar shows than anybody, and he is here. Hello, Bruce Valanche.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm almost at the end of the episode of Bridgerton I started watching when you
guys Is there nudity involved? The power of the stuff
that maybe they'll find the thin black Duke before it's all.
Bruce, where were you when this was all going on?
I was in a chic hotel in New York because I was shooting something in New York over the weekend. And I was with a suitable young man, and we were watching the show together. And I was explaining.
Or unsuitable.
We were explaining to each other who people were, you know. But, I mean, he told me all about the guy from Euphoria, the very tall guy who was with the very short actress. Which was
and you
really
explained who Liza Minnelli was.
What?
And you explained who Liza Minnelli was.
Yeah, well, by then he had nodded out, but I guess the roofie worked by then. I don't know. So hard to gauge.
Bruce Valanche, our very own Bill Cosby.
Hound dog. It's so hard.
So what did you think when you saw this? I'm sure you have thoughts.
Like everybody else, I first assumed it was a bit. Mm-hmm. And then...
They're not that clever.
Well, that doesn't make me, you know, I mean, dumb people do bits too. I don't know how to break this to you, Billy. You and I have done bits.
That is true.
I thought it was a bit, and because as Will was walking away, he had this sort of stride and smile, and I thought, okay, they're going to do something. And but Chris's reaction, obviously, was, and then of course when he sat down and started, you know, volcanically exploding. It was clear that it was real, and Chris was really shocked. But he was he took the high road. He was at the top of his game, and the show had to go on. And he finished his award, and he let Questlove take care of
it. Deal with it.
And he went off to the wings where LAPD was apparently waiting, and said, "Do you want to press charges?" And he said, "No." However, I mean. What's amazed me about all of this is the false equivalency. People saying, "Well, you know, it was the joke was wrong. The joke it was a bad joke. A bad joke is not equal to physical assault,
right? Yeah. Or a good joke.
They are not equivalences. Physical assault is not allowed. It is verboten. People make bad jokes all the time. The reaction to bad jokes is not physical assault. If every time you're offended, I want to go hit Will Smith because he wouldn't kiss the guy in 6 degrees of separation.
I was thinking of that, right.
I was mortally offended. I've known him for, you know, many years, and we did the Producers Guild Awards a couple of weeks ago, and we sat and had he was great. He was a terrific chat. But obviously, there's something wrong with the boy. I mean, he's got something going on. A friend of mine said, well, he's bulking up. For his next picture.
Oh, yeah, it's roid rage.
He's got roid rage. I said, whatever it is.
Really?
Whatever it is.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, right. I said, we're not in court. Maybe you can bring that one into court if it comes to that. But but there's just no, I mean, there's obviously something wrong with him. He snapped. And he, as Denzel said, at your highest moment, that's when the devil comes to take you. So this is exactly what happened to him. And apparently Denzel said that to him after the incident It informed what that bizarre speech that Will made when he won the award.
That was we all stood there at the Vanity Fair carpet listening to that speech, and I was going, you're making it worse.
Well, he sounded like a garden variety abuser from an episode of Law and Order.
Right. Exactly. That's interesting.
You do funny things. Bruce,
it's funny you say that, because a conversation I was having with a black gentleman on Monday who was fiercely defending Will's
reaction. We don't need to know about your sex life, Carl.
He said, did Will
Mine,
get an apology from Chris? Has Chris Rock apologized? I said, apologize for what?
Yeah.
He was doing his job. And he goes, you know, well, the crying. I said, he sounded like the drunk husband in the ER who says, I love you. It's just, you know, anger. What a crap excuse.
I'm stunned that what it has come down to is a false equivalency.
Right. No, I agree.
So we think that's a legitimate argument.
And you also wonder about the role of Scientology in all this too.
I would love to bring Scientology into this.
The religious, you know, motivation. He kept quoting the idea of, you know, of God and bringing that into it. There's been some reporting suggesting that, you know, in that church that you're supposed to sort of assert dominance and show that you are defending.
I have no problem with Will Smith asserting dominance over me, but that has nothing to do with the Oscars.
Oh, your sordid personal life. This is about my sordid personal life. You have every week you can show off that.
Carl was with black men on Monday, so let's not even go there. So,
The last time something like this happened. What a major star freaked out was Tom Cruise. That was fiction, and he was making a grand gesture. He wasn't conquering.
He knocked poor Judy out.
My point was, the last time this happened with a major celebrity was another Scientologist. It was Tom Cruise, and it was the couch jumping and taking on Matt Lauer about psychotropic drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And what happened was Sumner Redstone, who was running Paramount, sat him down and said, no more Mission Impossibles. You have devalued your brand. And suddenly Tom fired his sister, who was his publicist, and went back to a real publicist. And suddenly he stopped peddling Scientology openly. Right. And he pulled it all back in because this was a career killer. And the same thing is now going to happen with Will. He's devalued his brand, and he's going to have to do the Mea Culpa tour for a year. My guess is the Academy will give him a slap on the wrist suspension, which will miraculously end just before the nomination period for next year, so that he's qualified for his Emancipation, his big slavery movie, which is his next big release. And of course, we'll see how the box office is on that to see if people have walked away from him or not. In addition to that, nobody will be in the mood to nominate him for anything. Right. And I'm sure the discussion at ABC now is, does he come back next year to present Best Actress, which is a tradition?
With Chris Rock.
You know, the numbers will be tremendous if he does.
People will want
to see what's happening. But there'll be that argument, because it all comes down to follow the money.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Bruce,
all of these highfalutin moral judgments ultimately boil down to follow the money.
Bruce, when
now, tell me about your short sex life.
I was having sex when this happened, but with all the years you've done the Oscars, has there ever been anything like this that you're scrambling backstage saying, God, how do we handle this? Other than Jack Palance doing the one-armed push-ups.
That was funny. No, nobody. Obviously, you know, La La Land and Moonlighting was Bruce Willis on the phone. Moonlight. That was a big scramble, but that was incompetence, nobody was behaving badly. They were just a deer in the headlights is the problem. I mean, that's a long explanation, which nobody cares about anymore, because this has overshadowed that one already.
And people say,
the happiest person on the planet is Faye Dunaway saying, now they'll stop talking about us. So
let me ask the panel then. You know, everybody, I have a completely different viewpoint on this next topic, which is Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli. I look at it as elder abuse, and that they're dragging that poor woman on stage who doesn't know where she is.
She was not, it was not the Amistad. She was not in chain. She willingly did this because I'm sure that she feels like everybody thinks that she is this helpless creature. And unfortunately, when she got out there, she got
looked like a helpless creature.
To help, she got disoriented. That I'm sure that was not her plan. I think in her good moments, she figured she could make this happen. And and God knows she had great support from Gaga. But I don't think she was not dragged out there against her will.
No, this was something she wanted to do.
Yeah, I would. I agree with Caitlin Valanche on that one 100%. You know,
I changed my name from Caitlin to Bruce. I was ahead of the curve.
It was still going to be.
I don't think it. You know, I mean, it was slightly awkward television as a viewer, and you know, a little distressing as someone who is a fan of Liza Minnelli, like so many of us are, to see her appearing so kind of frail in that condition. But mm-hmm. I also think that it was a really beautiful moment between two iconic mm-hmm. women.
Oh, sure.
And that Liza had that opportunity to be there and still feel, I you know, and Bruce, you'd know better, but, you know, I think Liza worries sometimes that the world has forgotten about her. And I think this is a great opportunity for a woman like her to sort of be front and center at such a big moment in the show. So, I thought it was, other than slightly awkward viewing because she looked quite frail, I thought it was a great moment.
Alex, you were sitting home. What did you think when that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all still were trying to get over the Will Smith thing.
that was a comic relief.
It was better. Remember when Elizabeth Taylor presented
Gladiator?
Yes. It was better than that. I think the lesson that they learned in that, if you're going to have somebody who is a little older and maybe struggling, to send them out there with somebody who can help them
along
the process. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of, it felt a little bit like a passing of the baton, which was a beautiful thing, right? From, you know, one iconic performer to another. And we know that, you know, Tony Bennett, she was there for that sort of passing of mm-hmm. the baton. And now she's here for this. And I think it gives you a lot of respect for Lady Gaga, for her
also,
empathy and her knowledge and appreciation of the past,
right? And the fact that she's classy enough to show up when she was overlooked for a nomination by her fellow actors.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
I mean, she didn't have to go. You know, she could have been invisible this season, as in protest, but she showed up.
And if you're going to go, why not give out the last award with a living legend?
Well, sure, exactly right.
Alex and Carl, thank you both for being here. I'm going to be putting your links underneath this video. I appreciate Alex in particular because I was at the Go-Go's last night. We're texting each other. Can we make this work? Can we not make this work? Alex, I really appreciate you jumping in. And Carl, of course, you're always fabulous here.
So I see Alex to be here. Alex, every night I see, he says, we'll be back at 10 now, TMZ, with our pal Harvey Levin.
Thank you for watching. If anybody wants to watch, we're on it. 5, 6, 7, and 10 o'clock every night on 11. I got my plug in. There we go.
And apparently he's pals with Harvey Levin.
My medication.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, we love Harvey. He might come on tonight. We're trying to figure
I'm sure he will somewhere. And Carl, of course, on ABC, our local affiliate here in LA. Thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good seeing you all. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Oh, Brucey. It always comes down to you and I.
Well, you know, the blondes, we stick together.
I know, exactly. So aside from Will and aside from Liza, what'd you think of the show?
It was okay. I mean, they had three hosts, so they didn't have to rely on one person being wonderful all night. Mm-hmm. And they dipped them in and out. I thought a lot of it was juvenile. I thought a tremendous preponderance of cock jokes, which I love personally, But I thought, not for the Oscar. I mean, Leguizamo doing the 13 and a half inch Mexican joke, and then Wanda having to come out and grab her junk and say, oh, my, you know. I thought all of that stuff, and I'm not, God knows, I'm the farthest thing from a prude, but I think that there's a certain sense of occasion, and it's a delicate balance, and I think that it was tipped in the wrong direction. I thought I couldn't argue with a show that had Shawn Mendes and Kelly Slater and the guy from Euphoria, lots of eye candy for me.
Yeah.
and it looked good. But
it did look good. I liked the set. I actually liked the seat configuration up at the front with the nominees. I thought that worked.
I only think it works because you get better shots of the famous people.
Exactly.
And there could be more camera work. And of course they could do the brilliant Bruno number in the audience.
What did you think of the numbers, by the way? I forget
they should put it on stage.
Yeah. I actually thought the numbers were terrible.
Song leaves me cold anyway. Well, they opened it. It was kind of like the Grammys. You know, they opened it with Beyonce doing a video. It was very weird.
If you're not there live, I'm not interested. So very I thought that was a curious choice.
And Amy, who I love, was in her mean girl mode. You know, she was doing harsh jokes about people there. It was very Ricky Gervais. I don't know. It felt mean-spirited to me.
I thought so. And I think Gina was out of her,
her delivery, you know, as well. I'm just me, you know, but in fact, she's just saying these things. And I did like that she sandwiched in a Ukrainian reference, which obviously was not
surprisingly few, though, for the whole evening.
Well, she just did the one. I know. That was a decision they made, I think, to just put in the slide saying, give money. Mm-hmm. Give money here, give money there, give money everywhere.
And I thought Regina was a curious choice, actually.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Yeah. But, you know, it was Will Packer doing this show. I mean, he had many masters to serve, and I'm supposed to say that's an inappropriate remark, but he had the need to be diverse. He had the need to get a younger demographic into the thing.
Yeah.
He had a need to make the show feel like it's a comeback. He had a whole lot of things that he had to do. But he didn't have to have Regina Hall patting down four guys on stage. As much as I personally enjoyed their discomfort, it was kind of a new low. And
what I thought of is that if you had pitched to Billy Crystal...
This is what feminism is about now, the ability to do that.
If you would pitch this to Billy Crystal,
defer to Camille Paglia on that.
If you had pitched this to Billy Crystal and said, here's a fun bit, never would have flown. And notice that Will Smith was not game for that either.
I did. Yeah, it was leading me to wonder if it was actually cleared with all of them or if it was...
I don't know. Or if
it was cleared with him and he said no in the moment, because God knows he said a few things in the moment evening went on. So maybe he just decided, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
Or maybe that was part of the bit, that he wasn't going to be a part of that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was funny.
Have been like Timothy Chalamet with no shirts. Well, it would have been,
okay, that was my next comment was, you know, people were talking to me about, oh, Timothy Chalamet was so hot and Timothy Chalamet was so inappropriate. And I said, you know, if he were built like Channing Tatum, it would have been inappropriate. But looking like a latter-day Angelian, not so much. I mean, it wasn't sexual really on any level, I didn't think.
I didn't know what it was. I mean, I think it was a stylist saying, let's do something outrageous because you're young and you can get away with it.
Is it who he is? You know, it's funny. We talked about Will Smith and who he is. Is this who Timothy Chalamet is, or is he trying to stay relevant, or it's a publicist?
I think he's an upper class New York kid, you know, Manhattan baby. And he's very hip. I think he thought, go for it. Let's do something outrageous.
And give people something to talk about.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that's, I don't know that this would naturally be something he would do, but I wouldn't think doing playing Woody Allen in a movie would be something he naturally would do. And he did that.
We talked about that.
There you go.
I think stick with your strengths.
I've met him. He's a charming, interesting guy. And,
is he?
Yeah, he really is. And a fabulous mother. I mean, he's got one of these great mothers. Very, very hip and fun. But he was raised in a very sophisticated household. And I think he thought, well, let's try doing something, you know, on cutting edge.
Yeah, well, it didn't bother me, but I thought it was curious.
It bothered a lot of us. But, you know, I mean, when you go through the list of all the things that people were wearing. Jada with that, you know, wearing that plant from Little Shop of Horrors that was, you know, or it was Soylent Green, whatever the hell she was wearing, whatever that dress was. It was very, I mean, I must say that put her in that seat, maybe that, when she saw where she was going to sit, this voluminous skirt that would take up all the room. It was interesting that she did that. It was the look.
And you had mentioned earlier Shawn Mendes, who looked positively horrified by Tracee Ellis Ross's breasts.
Well, you know, I mean, the last thing you expect from Tracy is boobs. I mean, when did that happen? I mean, not that they're new or anything, but I mean, this is not her brand at all.
Right, no.
Is not her brand to show cleavage. She's not that woman. And so it was so odd that she chose the Oscars to do that.
Odd is right.
Yeah.
There were a lot of boobs, though. I mean, we had a lot of breasts. Very
heavy.
Tropical.
It was Lake Titicaca.
As I said in the column, it looked like extras from a Bain du Soleil commercial.
There was a lot of that. Yeah, there were a lot of boobs on display. I don't know what that's about. I mean, I always know what it's about. It's because men like...
And it was a nice day out.
You guys look at them and they go, nice tits. That's the reaction. They don't see anything else. They say, no. Nice tits. You know, it's the old joke. My eyes are up here. You know.
And I, you know, gay men, I enjoy a good set of tits too. So I have no problem with that.
I'm fine with them. I'm fine with them. I like big everything.
Lord. I want to go back to Will Smith for a second. Is he a member of the Academy? People have asked me. I've tried to explain. The Academy is not something you fill out a form and you become a member. You jump through hoops. You have to be nominated and seconded, or you have to have been sponsored by somebody. There's lots of things. Yeah. So is he a member?
I have no idea. I mean, back in the day, if you were nominated for an Oscar, you were automatically a member. And those rules have changed. It could be. I mean, I my guess is he is because he's such a big movie star. And they would invite him. And he has been nominated in the past.
Right. So
my guess is he is a member. But and I think that may be what the disciplinary action takes form as. Revoking membership or suspending membership or doing something like that. I mean, it's you know, meaningless unless in this day and age, because even you get screeners or you get downloads of the movies anyway. He'll get them from SAG.
I was just going to say he's a SAG.
So, I mean, to be a member, I don't know exactly what it means other than the prestige of being a member of the Academy. Back in the day, it meant free screenings.
Right.
You could only see these movies at the theaters. So,
right. And I will say, just because there's been a discussion in the zeitgeist, regardless of what people think, I don't think the Oscars should be revoked. The work is for the Oscars for the work, not for the person.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. They haven't revoked Mel Gibson's Oscar. They haven't revoked Roman Polanski's Oscar, Harvey Weinstein's. So, I mean, it's nothing about personal behavior. Don't enter into it. It's about the work and specific work.
Right.
It's an artistic award. So I've always felt that attaching some kind of moral code to these awards is foolishness. I mean, they are for what they're there for, you know. Take his merit badge back from the Boy Scouts, maybe.
Exactly. So I know that you were just in Fort Lauderdale, and you finally, your oft-canceled and delayed show in Fort Lauderdale. How did that go? How did it go performing?
It was fun. Actually, I was a little rusty, but the crowd was great. at the Savory Theater, which is an old church that's been restored, restored, but rehabilitated as a movie theater.
It's a beautiful space.
It's a great space. It really is terrific, especially for a stand up or a sit down. I call myself performer because the audience is in stadium seating and they're close to you as a result. A lot of them are looking at the top of your head, so you have to look up and show all your waffles. But I had a great time. It was fun. And I spent a lot of time at Wilton Manors because...
Yes, I know you do.
Because it's a great street. You know, there's a club called Johnson's, which is full of them. And yes. I had a great time there. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back over the 4th of July. I'm going to do a thing at Lit, which is
cool.
My friend's club. So it will be just very intimate and fun.
Did you see our friend Howard? Did you see our friend Howard?
Of course, I saw Howard Martin. Yes, absolutely. I think Lit is his club.
Well, he's involved, yes, definitely.
So, I saw him and Patrick Gallineau, who lives there now. Mm-hmm. No,
yeah.
And we club hopped and we did all the requisite appearances at Rosie's and the taco place. I mean, you know, we went down Wilton. We went down Wilton Drive and just hit everything. And it's great. You know, it's fun.
You know, speaking of, because you, again, have performed live in front of audiences, do you have hecklers?
Occasionally. You know,
hecklers that just want to be part of the show.
I'm not a club comic, and I don't work in plays. Fortunately, I started this thing late. The comedy, before I was an actor, but the actual comedy performance career, and so I had the luxury of only playing where I wanted to play, and where I knew they were coming to see me.
Right.
The only time
a known entity.
The what?
And you are a known entity to them.
I'm a known entity. And the only time that I've been heckled is places where I was on the bill. It was the Improv and I was the headliner or something like that. And if people who were there just to see comedy, you know, and they're the squarest audiences in the world. And they didn't know who I was or what I was doing and they didn't dig it. You know, I mean, the worst was in Puerto Vallarta where I walked off stage. I was there late in the season, and there was a lot of people. I don't know why they were in the club even. But I said, you know, either you leave or I leave. And then, so I left. And of course, the audience turned on them, but fast, which was great. I was very, very gratified. But I don't set myself up anymore for those things. I only go where I know they're coming to see me or they're aware of who I am and all of that. But obviously, I have that luxury and other people don't, and so I'm not particularly on because I don't like to confront them. I mean, some people, you know, like to work the audience, and some people just like to work hecklers because it can be fun. I guess I don't particularly enjoy it, but
Do you feel safe on stage or do you feel vulnerable? Because I've had comedians that feel empowered and others that feel very vulnerable and exposed.
It's a very good question. I'm always at home
on
stage.
Thank God, there's one.
I'm always at home on stage. I feel like when I'm doing that thing, I feel like, well, this is you're in my living room and we're having a kind of a conversation, but it's one-sided, but, but we are having it, so no, I don't feel like that. But some comics, I would imagine, depends on the kind of material they do. If they feel vulnerable, it's an interesting combination. I mean, to come out there and be brassy and you know, full of vitriol and then feel vulnerable out there. I mean,
yeah, I read an interview that our friend Judy Gold did apropos of this situation, and her concern is that people who don't typically go to comedy shows see this and think that they can get away with this if they go to a comedy club, that it gives them permission to feel like they can attack a host if they don't like a joke or whatever. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, I suppose you can take that extension. This was not a comedy club. This was the Academy Awards, and these were two famous people. Mm-hmm. So I think that what she's talking about has always been a possibility. And when people are drunk enough and altered enough, they'll do what they feel like doing. But as you pointed out, in a club situation, there are bouncers and there's security and all that. I mean, there's nobody who's going to come on and haul Will Smith off the stage at the Academy Awards.
Wouldn't that have been fabulous? What a moment.
Yeah. Well, a moment. Yeah, it would have been a moment. If he had dropped his pants and taken a crap, that would have been a moment. But
well, I don't want that.
Creating those moments is, I don't think, a thing to be encouraged.
Will Packer was not hoping for that moment.
Will Packer.
You know, it's funny because when I was watching it unfold live, I was watching Chris Rock. And you see, again, if you've been on stage in this kind of situation, you can look at his eyes and there's like 72 things going through his head. What do I say? What I do? Let's just keep our mouths shut and see where it's going. Right. Because had it been somebody who would have spoken back, this could have escalated and been endless.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that also... there was a confusion in the house about what had actually gone out on the air, because we all know there's a person with what I call the Futter button.
Futterman,
the ABC network censor of yore. And so they were doing a whole lot of fancy footwork with delaying stuff. And so
thank God for the international feed.
He wasn't He wasn't exactly sure what was happening. I'm sure that was going through his mind. And the idea of a comeback or something, it was just like, well, this was surreal, and we're just going to go ahead on with the show. As I say, he took the high road.
We're
going to continue. We'll move on. Whatever that was, it happened. It's over, and I'll be moving on. And that's what he did. And I mean, he's a pro, and he's hosted the show, so he knows what that room is like.
You know, it's interesting. He's in Boston right now, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And he's embarking on a tour. And, you know, he... did that, you know, old chestnut that we've all done. So how was your weekend? You know, and everyone laughed. Yeah. And he's not ready to talk about it. Because, you know, that's the other thing is you think to yourself, we're talking about Will Smith's career and how this affects it. Chris Rock is a comic. Everybody is now going to see what he's going to say about it as if he hasn't constructed a show that he's actually touring with. And he doesn't want that show. Because as we know, writing a one-person show is a six-month job at least. And so he's now ready to go out with this show. And, oh, shit, now I got to deal with this. So you deal with it up front and then go into your show.
Yeah, so he'll eventually incorporate something into it. I think he also wants to see, like everybody else, how it plays out. It's very raw right now. It's, you know, I think Alex pointed out that the Academy is taking their time because they're waiting for it to simmer down, for the temperature to lower. And so is he.
Yeah. So. And it's also, it reminds me of politics that, you know, that people will say that, you know, Trump has opened the doors for bad behavior and crazies to do whatever they want, saying, oh, well, he does it, so I can do it. There is this mentality in the air right now. And I wonder if that feeds into this.
You know, who's to say it could? I mean, it seems to me that when people become unhinged, that they do what they're going to do, and they're not thinking about what Donald Trump did, or they're not thinking, you know, I mean, this kind of thing is different from people marching in Charlottesville because they feel empowered, or taking the Capitol because they feel empowered by Donald Trump. It's a lot more than him. There's also the internet, where everybody gets to express their opinion unfiltered, and it's narcissism central. And I mean, the thing I said at the top of the show about the false equivalence that you see on the internet, it's nuts. It's just crazy. Right. People feel like, you know, their opinion is somehow fact,
right? Or pertinent for that matter. Pertinent. You know, a lot of people have said, how would this have played out had Wanda made the joke or Amy made the joke? And I would like to think it wouldn't have happened, but I don't know.
you know, I mean,
it's a what if. There's a million of them.
I mean, it's just like, it's an interesting exercise. I personally rather masturbate, but it's an interesting exercise. What would have happened if Wanda had said that joke? Let me waste some time in my life thinking about that.
I have a lot of free time, Bruce.
I'm sorry, I've got, you know, a toilet to unstuff. I mean, I got business to do. I don't give a rat ass what Amy Schumer would have done. She did the same joke, by the way. She came out and said, did I miss anything? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the comeback of all time when shit happens and you have to come back and you have
we've
to
all done it.
Yeah, we've all done that. So
We got some comments local. Scott Townsend sends us a lot of hearts. Thank you, Scotty. Michael Arrington says, hey guys, love you, Bruce. It's not really a question, but ask a question. No. You got like 2 minutes of Bruce. Now I can't see what this one is. Bruce, you are such a genius writing quick responses. Do you have any you would have given the hosts on the Oscars? Well, just in general, forgetting about Will Smith, is there anything that you think the hosts could have or should have tackled that they just missed an opportunity?
No, actually. I mean, if there was, I've forgotten about it already. But, I mean, Amy did the right thing when she came out and did that joke.
And that was enough, by the way. Yeah, people said she could have said more. There was no more to say.
Yeah, there was no more to say. Exactly. So, hi, Jim. Jim Lapidus, great costume.
Jim Lapidus, yes, fantastic. John Scalicki, Bruce's observation. All right, maybe you have plural and maybe singular. Are right on. Thank you, Scalicki. Great photographer, by the way. Mark Bessinger, love Bruce's T-shirt.
Thank you. Mm.
The many ages of man.
That's exactly right. Godzilla from Raymond Burr to the most recent King Kong.
Scalicchio, oh, happy to see Alex on here or here. great show, Billy Steve Hatchett. You know, they're all so complimentary. You know, you'd think that each of us were having a much bigger sex life than we are.
Well, there are no women so far checking.
Yeah, right. Do you ever listen to Live at Last? Do you, Bruce? I'm sure you do.
You
wrote it.
Not lately. I haven't listened to it lately, but thank you. Yeah, occasionally. I haven't had occasion to listen to it, but as long as other people are, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's a great favorite of mine. And Beth doesn't look at it because it was like, you know, it was 1976 and she doesn't want to look at what she was wearing. Because the show got so much bigger after that, but
you know, Bette Midler, of course, a great collaborator of yours. Are you doing anything with her?
We're gonna have dinner, actually.
You know, every time I talk to you, and I've said, "Oh, can I come?" And the last time you said, "Billy, I know better than to invite you to a dinner with."
Exactly
me.
Right. It's true. She happens to be in town, but we did Hocus Pocus too, and we did a little Midler. Yes. On the script, because you know Winifred is a strange cat, speaks in her own sort of patois, and yes. We did it 30 years ago, and we did it again on this one. So, but it's very funny. It will drop for Halloween on Disney Plus, but maybe it'll get a theatrical. Who knows?
I'm hearing that it may. Okay. Yep. I can also say, you know, because now it's been a few months, that a friend of mine in the Boston area, it was filmed in Providence, Rhode Island, and a friend of mine was a dancer on it and said that, again, not a surprise, that Bette was such a doll to all of the dancers and extras. And, you know, she does go out of her way to be lovely to people. What else are you working on, Bruce? Because you usually have a couple of musicals and an acting show. And,
I wrote
of course,
a
your
musical,
trapeze
I wrote
act
a
is
musical,
legendary.
I wrote a musical involving Dolly Parton and her music.
Really?
And we're going to do a bunch of regional productions starting in September in Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh.
And then Fort Worth, Pittsburgh, and Nashville, we will unveil it with the full bells and whistles. And Dolly is involved in between curing cancer and settling the Ukraine. She
yes.
is involved in the show. So, but she's not in it. And it's not 9 to 5.
And she does want Kristen Chenoweth to play her in a film.
Actually, I heard that.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was Kristen talking or Dolly talking.
Well,
we haven't discussed it.
So hard to tell. Kristen's like a Dolly Parton sock puppet. And I think Kristen is still involved in this potential musical based on Hocus Pocus and another one based on Tammy Faye. There is going to be a Hocus Pocus. I mean, not Hocus Pocus. Soap Dish, excuse me.
I say Hocus Pocus is going to be musical.
No, Hocus
Pocus. So I pitched that years ago.
Yes, and Soap Dish is becoming a series.
Soap Dish, I've heard
with Whoopi is going to be involved, but I think she's the only one.
She's going to be in it, or is she producing?
Well, they haven't said. They said she's involved. What, you know, you and I know, whatever that means. You were also working on another. Was it an original musical?
I was working on one about with Petula Clark's songbook. I'm not involved in that anymore.
All right, fuck her.
The producer and I had creative differences. He was getting creative, and it was making a difference.
I thought you were going to say you're creative, and he was different. Could have gone either way.
A whole other way. But it's okay. I hope it's a big hit. I got a piece of it, but I'm no longer involved. This Dolly show, which is called Here You Come Again.
Oh, is, autobiographical?
No. It's a
jukebox.
It uses her catalog, but it's an unusual idea. It's a pandemic musical, and so I can't say too much more about it because they're going to announce it soon. So,
what about performing? Do you want to do more performances?
Yeah, I'm going to do Martinis in San Diego, on the 4th, on April 16th, Easter weekend, with Suzanne Westenhofer and Dana Goldberg.
Fantastic.
It's Legends of Gay Comedy. I love the billing. I love the idea. Sandwiched between two lesbians. It's wonderful. I'm doing that, and I'll be back in Lauderdale over the 4th of July, which will be a lot of fun, but very intimate kind of thing. And some others, you know, now that I've started performing again, the dates will come in, hopefully. What I want to do is more of the corporate stuff. I love doing that.
But, really? You know,
as people are getting back in the office and they're having functions.
Yeah, is that picking up again?
Yeah, a little bit. It's taking a while because every company has a different situation, you know, and it depends on where you are in the country. Some people say, yeah, it's all like it used to be. And some people say, no, I'm masked and I'm not going out. And yeah, it's the yin and the yang. So we'll see.
And you are in town right now. You're in Los Angeles.
I am in Los Angeles in my Hollywood man cave.
Yeah, so I was telling Mr. Apper, I said, we should get together at some point. We should do a dinner. Well,
I will be seeing him
since
soon.
I'm here for 2 weeks, so definitely we should do it. Bruce, thank you. You're always there for me whenever I ask you. And, of course, I can't do an Oscar show without you.
Well, you know, can I say?
Because you were the original. I don't care what Mr. Leguizamo says. You were the original model for the Oscar.
13 and a half inch Mexican. I just thought this is, and you know, it didn't get the laugh he was hoping for because.
And is it true? Somebody asked me if it's true.
About him?
No, about the original model for the Oscar was a Mexican American.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think he would say that without having some sort of Wikipedia backup.
Forget it.
All I remember is Betty Davis said that it looked like her Uncle Oscar, and that was supposedly where they got the name from because it was back, you know, she was one of the early Oscar winners. But I don't know. There's a whole legend. It's probably in the Hollywood Museum, the Academy Museum, or as we call it, Woke House.
Have you been?
No. The Hall of Cinema Crime.
Why don't we go?
The only mention of Louis Mayer is as a child molester. So
you and I should walk through it and film it.
I'm available.
All right. I'll get on that. Okay. I'll get my crew. My crew being, you know, a friend with a camcorder. Bruce, thank you. Now that I'm back in town, let's get together, please.
All right. We'll do
I
it.
Love you. Thank you for doing the show. I appreciate it. Bye, sweetheart. And everybody, thank you for watching Billy Masters Live. Next week, we have, oh my God, Bruce would love this. We have my friend David Pevsner, who has a new book out about his life on Broadway and being a rent boy. So you won't want to miss that. And we're going to have some more people on a panel because, you know, I like panels. Anyway, that's it. I'm around. If you have a question, send it to billy@billymasters.com. Every week, check out billymasters.com for the freshest gossip. And we will see you next Thursday. I am Billy Masters Live. And just remember, if we are here, we're live. Have a great weekend, guys. Bye-bye.